Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. WordBoulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
NASA scientists say their recent discovery of a fifth planet orbiting a star much like our sun could be an indication that there are many such solar systems across the universe. Scientists say it took 18 years of painstaking research to locate the five planets. The newly discovered planet is 45 times the size of Earth and may resemble Saturn. Dow Chemical and food company Dole have been ordered to pay more than $3 million for exposing workers to dangerous pesticides that left six employees infertile. The Nicaraguan workers have harvested bananas during the 1970s and the 80s. Crude oil prices jumping up 3% to a new all-time high today of $97 a barrel. The Department of Energy will release a report on energy supplies tomorrow. Meantime, light sweet crude oil trading at $96.70 on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Wall Street bouncing back at the close today as ExxonMobil pushed the Dow Industrials higher with oil prices rising. The tech sector saw positive numbers while shares of the electronic commerce company Alibaba.com almost tripled in its Hong Kong debut. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 117 points to end at 13,661, NASDAQ up 30 points, S&P 500 up 18. Always more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Yes, sirree, Bob. That's good. And in this portion of the programming, as promised, and it only got worse during the news, George Bush is sitting down to a dinner of hummingbirds' tongues and lark's sonnet canapes and patty de foie gras, maybe some escargot. You know, just like Mama used to make for Nicolas Sarkozy, the right-wing president of France. Sitting down to dinner. Very nice dinner. Got the fine official Bush administration fine china out, white tablecloths, silverware that's made of silver, liveried service, more coffee, more tea, wine please, red, white. While 800,000 people, not too awfully far to the south, wait on rooftops, fall into the fetid waters of a flood zone, float dead face down in that water, while, 38 more Afghan citizens are dead as the hell and damnation of Iraq and the failure there spreads to the east. While a nation, Pakistan, nuclear armed and filled to the gills with fundamentalist idiots, not much different from our own, seeks an end to democratic processes, and the dictator there, who has suspended the Constitution, has truly crossed the Rubicon, knowing that if he succeeds, at best he retires somewhere with a significant portion of stolen funds from his country, retires somewhere preferably in Europe, say Switzerland maybe, and if he fails, they will separate his head from his shoulders. That's what you call incentive for a dictator, a brutal dictator who kills his own people and has weapons of mass destruction, nuclear ones. While all of that goes on, George Bush dines in splendid luxury and thinks not a thought about any of the things that I have just mentioned to you. Now, bear in mind, of course, that his followers and his supporters can't say much along those lines to you about that. No, instead, they have to attack children and make fun of children. Children who weep for what is being done to their homes. Case in point, America's biggest gas bag. Case in point, the oxymoron, America's junkie, Flush Flembaugh. A high school graduate, a young woman, 18 years old, testified before Edward Markey's committee yesterday morning, describing the effect global warming has had on her Inuit homeland in Alaska and the particular impacts on her local community. Well, if someone shows weakness, what does a Republican do? If anyone shows weakness, a Republican goes in for the kill, because that's what Republicans are. This is from yesterday's Flush Flembaugh radio program, what passes for political commentary. Political commentary. Oh, rat fart. It's gone. Let's try this.
About next. All of this is just, it is just a sham. And here, you got to hear this 13-year-old girl. Let me find her name here. I get to put it at the bottom of the stack. I thought we were through with it, but I'm getting requests to hear this again. And I know what the requests really aren't to hear this. The requests are for my reaction to this. This is Cheryl Charlie Lockwood crying in House testimony. Ed Markey's committee today, the House Energy Independence and Global Warming Committee.
Just through my lifetime, I've seen so many changes in our community that it just hurts to not be able to have our... It's really scary to lose our tradition, our culture. And we've been living here for thousands of years. And it's not just that we're losing our food, it's losing our homes, and because we are spiritually connected and emotionally and physically connected to our homes, and there are so many communities that are in trouble.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of communities in trouble over a lot of things. Go to New Orleans. Talk about losing homes. Sorry. I'm just reminded here of the old television PSA that you...
How dare he say go to New Orleans when he himself made fun of the people floating face down in those fetid waters? And did you catch the mockery? See, a sick bastard like a Republican, like Rush Limbaugh, thinks it's big fun when people suffer. They think it's bigger fun when they cry, when they suffer.
Back in the old days when we were kids, Iron Eyes Cody, the Native American, standing by the roadside as, you know, worthless Americans drive by on the way to their trailer parks and so forth. Do the
right-wingers ever hear the way he describes them? Worthless Americans driving to their trailers. And understand that it's them he's talking about. It's not you. It's not me. It's not liberals. It's the trash that listens to him and keeps the advertisers happy and calls from Busted Knuckle and says, Mega Busted Knuckle Dittos, Rush. Dang, you sure are smart. Nah, they don't get it. They don't understand that the joke is on them.
Throwing trash out the window of the car. A Native American. Turns out he wasn't. It was an actor made up, but doesn't matter. Little tear starts rolling down his cheek over what the white Europeans have done to his country. This stuff is it's oppressive. It's always been around. Shreveport, Louisiana. This is Chad. Chad, you're up first today on the EIB Network.
You're going to love this.
Hi, Rush. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet, sir. Make it count.
Well, here's the deal.
Make it count.
I'm going to make the assumption that the young lady testifying...
Hey, can I ask you guys to do me a favor? If I ever get to the point with this program where I take a call and ask someone what's on their mind and then tell them to make it count... Will you do me a favor and just bury me in email telling me to stuff it? Make it count. Make it count. How do you make anything count on a program that feasts on 12-year-old little boys and 18-year-old girls? How do you make it count? But, of course, Whitey is calling in and Rush is going to make it count.
Of Inuit descent, or
I would think so, because the Inuits have joined the crusade up there. Yeah.
How did her people get to North America from the Asian continent?
Well, odds are, buddy, we can't look to you to know, because, well, never mind. Wait for this.
Didn't they come across a land bridge that has melted?
I don't know. They might have hitched a ride with the Vikings. Who the hell knows? I know you're right. I'm just on a blue funk here. I'm in a real cynical mood here about all this. Go ahead. But make your point. It's a good point.
They tell me that the Inuits came across a...
Who told you? You learned it in a college classroom. We can't trust it.
Oh, what a jerk. He's not even solicitous to his own people. Who told you? Did you hear it in college? If you heard it in college, if you heard it from a professor, we can't trust it. War on Christmas, war on drugs, war on terrorism, on... Oh, learning!
No, just the public school education. But if that did in fact melt, why did it melt and there is no connection to Russia between Alaska and Russia today? There must have been some global warming in the past.
Well, we know there has been. So your question, how'd they get there?
Dumbass alert, doofus, idiot alert. The Bering Land Bridge formed, of course you know this, the Bering Land Bridge formed because vast quantities of the Earth's water was locked up in glaciers. You know, 3-4 miles thick glaciers that in the North American side of things spread all the way down to Missouri and Pennsylvania. But no, it's because there must have been global warming in the past. And since there was global warming in the past, well, wait till you hear the reasoning that comes out of the thin gray settlings inside, between this idiot's ears that pass in Republican quarters for brains.
Yeah, if she's worried about the climate changing, it's been changing from the beginning of time.
You know, of course it has. Here's the thing, folks. With all of these scientists out there making the case, this so-called consensus, saying that global warming is happening.
You know, this so-called consensus saying global warming is happening. You know, all the scientists except for the ones in the pay of ExxonMobil. Yet that consensus. These scientists. What do they know? They're just running around dealing with reality. Why, we've got an entire fantasy world that we live in where there are elves and unicorns.
Pausing it. We have reported and shared with you any number of times the number of scientists among that consensus who now say it's too late. It's simply too late to reverse what we've done.
Ah, so it's too late, so eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. How can people stand to be conservatives? I mean, what's that line from, one of those police songs where Sting sings, "The ache in the ache inside his head so bad it makes his eyeballs hurt," or something like that. Isn't just life as a conservative one long Excedrin headache number 657932.821? Isn't that life as a conservative where you have to look at the very real world you live in and imagine that everything is just a bunch of made up crap foisted upon you by a liberal media, and that if the liberals would just leave you alone, it would all be frisbees and wheat checks, and we could be so happy, and there wouldn't be any brown people, and oh, it would be just all, it would be a little winter wonderland all in white.
Let me tell you what the real purpose of all of this is.
It's oh, do tell.
Story is out of London. Sacrifices, including higher paying households and taxes to help redress climate change, according to a global survey today. The survey found 83% of those questioned believe lifestyle changes would be necessary to cut emissions of climate warming carbon gases and would gladly pay them. And that falls what this is about. Or older Americans choose.
Okay, Rush. Put down the OxyContin and step away from the medicine bottle. Did you get that? The whole global warming thing is something that us liberals have cooked up so that we can raise taxes on poor, innocent citizens. It's just a means of getting the government more of your money. That's all. I'm so glad that Rush lives. You know, because we found his address one time on one of the, I think it was one of his arrest reports. And so I took Google Earth and went and looked up the address and found his little compound sitting there right on the ocean. And as much as I know that global climate change harms this planet, I'm hoping the entire Ross ice shelf drops off of Antarctica and the entire Greenland glaciation melts and runs off into the sea, and I want Rush Limbaugh up to his third or fifth freaking chin in the global warming that doesn't exist. You think when Russia's multi-million-dollar compound is underwater, the federal government will find more than 37 cents for his stinking hides rescue? Do you? Because I do. Yeah, I really do. Can't talk about the success in Iraq. Can't talk about the success in Afghanistan. Can't talk about the success in caring for America's children. Can't talk about the success in the recovery from Katrina that is now 2 years gone. Can't talk about the success in the economy. Can't talk about the success in raising up the middle class and shoring up the strength of the middle class. Can't talk about the success of bringing the poor out of poverty. Can't talk about the success in international diplomacy. Can't talk about their successes against domestic terrorism. Can't talk about the success in the war on drugs. I guess that just leaves attacks on little 18-year-old girls from Alaska. What a stud he is, huh? I mean, what a man. No wonder he's had three wives. They just line up, waiting for him to divorce the last one so they can just get close to his manly masculine essence. His purity of essence. His oh my God, his aqua velva smell that probably makes Chris Matthews just weep in his sleep. But that ain't all. Oh, no, that's not all. Because, you see, it's one thing right after another, and it's all a set piece. It's all of a part. It's all everything connected. Remember the story we had a little while back about the brown folks who were gathered in by the Immigrations and Customs Enforcement agents, the Icemen, who descend upon people, rip families apart, and in these particular instances gave them mind-altering drugs that constituted chemical restraints and tried to slip them on a plane to get them out of the country, the only thing that saved them being that the airline itself would not take them in that condition, whacked out of their minds. Remember that story? It turned out to be true, by the way. Borne out by physicians, everything. Yeah, it's just true. Or the story about the Icemen who descended on a meat packing plant in Utah, a union meat packing plant in Utah, and separated the workers by darkness of skin color. Lighter colored Mexicans were segregated away from darker colored Mexicans, and the darker colored Mexicans were assumed to be illegal aliens, even though they were American. Some of them were American citizens with children at home, and they were shipped away to internment camps. Do you remember that story? I remember that story. The Union damn sure remembers that story. That's the ICE. Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. The Icemen. It was ICE that was called out a couple of weeks ago when some Democrats wanted to have a press conference about the DREAM Act. And a young woman was going to speak, and Tom Tancredo called out the Icemen, and they had to cancel the press conference. Because the Democrats weren't willing to look at to stare down the Icemen and say, "You will take this young lady away from us over our dead bodies." That whole "our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor" business doesn't happen in the Congress anymore, with very few exceptions, one of whose name is Dennis Kucinich. That ICE. The Immigrations and Customs Enforcement agents who maintain a private prison in Texas where children are imprisoned behind barbed wire fences, their only crime being that they are children of people that ICE doesn't think should be in America. Yeah, that ICE, that Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Well, the lady, and I use the term loosely, oh dear, that's just trouble. The lady who runs all of that is a harpy by the name of Julie Myers. She is the head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. She is, in fact, an exalted mucky-muck within the Bush administration. And being as how the end of October is sort of a festive occasion, Julie Myers hosted a Halloween costume party. It was attended by some 50 to 75 people. It was a benefit, a fundraiser, for something called the Combined federal campaign. And that's sort of like the United Way. I don't know. Maybe it's even associated with the United Way. I don't know. But it's a collection, a combine, a co-op of charities, if you will. Julie Myers threw the party. And, of course, it's a Halloween party. It's a costume party. You know, I doubt if it was nearly as cool as the costume party that we heard about on Strictly Confidential last week, the one that Glenn Rivera hosted, where one couple showed up, one all done up in bandages. It was a mummy. And the other half the couple showed up done up in leather, and that was the daddy. But it was a costume party, and I'm sure there was a pirate and a mummy. And I'm sure there was a princess or an evil wicked witch or, yeah, you know, the usual Halloween suspects. So, of course, they were going to announce who had the best costume. And Julie Myers, head of ICE, an organization that routinely destroys the families of brown-skinned people in this country, was one of three people who judged the costumes. Well, I kind of like the pirate. Oh, I don't know. I like the ballerina. And then they noticed something. There was a guy, and you know, this is ICE, and they take people away to jail, so you can understand the theme, and they kind of get off on it. There was a guy done up in a striped prison outfit. You know, the works. He had dreadlocks. Dark-skinned. And ho, 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 man, he's the best. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. They noted the originality of his costume. They even took pictures and put them up on the ICE website up until they were removed when this began to get around. What began to get around, Bob? Well, let me tell you. It turns out that the guy with the dark skin, the dreadlocks, and the prison garb was a white guy in blackface. Oh, but wait, this is another one of those Ginsu commercials. There's more. The guy in the prison garb with the dreadlocks and the black face, who was actually a white guy, when it was mentioned to them, a spokesman for Julie Myers, the head of ICE, said, "Why, most people in the room didn't realize he was wearing makeup at all. It was another brown-skinned man in prison garb with dreadlocks. I mean, that's what they look like, isn't it?" It is late 2007 in the United States of America. And in late 2007 in the United States of America, nooses hang from trees. In late 2007, in the United States of America, nooses hang from the doors of African-American professors at Columbia University. In late 2007, in America, nooses are found surreptitiously tucked into the sea bags of cadets of the United States Coast Guard Academy. It is late 2007 in America, and the best costume at an official government fundraiser Halloween costume ball is a man in prison garb done up in blackface. And in late 2007, in America, the hostess of that party gives the best costume award to the man in prison garb, dreadlocks, and blackface, and complains that she didn't realize he was wearing makeup. Well, it just so happens that we here at the Head On Radio Network and Head On with Bob Kincaid have been able, it turns out, I mean, it wasn't just a matter of looking around and saying who's got the best costume, you know, that there's more that goes into this stuff. And we were able to obtain the talent portion of the program, in which the guy in blackface performed. Here's what he sang.
What's the matter, honey? There's a tear in your eye. Do white folks say they don't know where you go when you die? Come to your mammy, dear. And listen here. I'll tell you where those colored children go when they leave here. Now there's a happy land above the sky so blue. And listen, hon, what's been there for you? Come lay your that kinky head in a bit on a pillow of white and sleep tonight. Oh, while the angels will watch over you every night, the fiddle king pop up from the ground with sweet molasses all around. Old Uncle Joe is up laying the tunes upon that ever-loving old banjo. The streets are all paved with gold, I am told, every bird in the sky has diamond eyes. Now ain't that nice? Every little kinky-headed girl and boy has the cutest silver pony just for a toy in the place they call that Piccaninny Paradise.
Shoot fire. No wonder he won. He sure can sing. Oh, my God. That, of course, no. It was not the talent portion. I was pulling your leg. I hope to God you know that. That's actually one of the great minstrel singers of the late 1920s. Emmett Miller. Would you have been surprised, however, if you'd found out that... Nah, you wouldn't have. That's one of the problems of living in America in late 2007. We're all fresh out of surprised. And we're fresh out of horrified. And we're fresh out of disgusted. And we're fresh out of amazement. Can I, now, chat room, callers, emailers, you tell me. Am I out of line? Should this woman be fired immediately, this Julie Myers? Should she be dumped without a second thought? I'm not... Okay, you know, she's not responsible for how people show up. But when somebody shows up in blackface, as the hostess of the party, maybe she walks over and says, you know, I don't think this is appropriate, and it hasn't been appropriate for 75 years. Go wash your face or something. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. She didn't realize the guy was in blackface because they all looked the same to her. The Department of Homeland Security will investigate a Halloween costume party. Oh, okay, as long as there's going to be an invitation, or an investigation. Now, the guy who showed up in blackface has been directed by Homeland Security to take administrative leave while the investigation is conducted. Meanwhile, as I look at the news report, I can't see anything about Julie Myers stepping down. Can't see anything about Julie Myers being canned, sacked, fired. Oh, but wait. She did contact the National Association of African Americans in the Department of Homeland Security. And the group said, quote, that they appreciate her reaching out to us so quickly in order to keep us apprised of the matter, and we commend her on moving so swiftly toward appropriate corrective action, and please don't beat me, lady. Oh, sorry, no, the please don't beat me was, no. Meanwhile, Michael Chertoff, who looks a lot like Skeletor, supports the actions that Assistant Secretary Myers has taken, according to Laura Keetner, who is the DHS spokeswoman. You know, she's the DHS spokeswoman because, what was it, a year and a half, 2 years ago, that the DHS spokesman got caught trolling for little boys? Whoops, the baby. Keetner said, the secretary has asked for an inquiry into the facts surrounding the incident. Once the facts have been determined, we will take all necessary and appropriate actions. Just not against Julie Myers. Not against the woman who hosted the party. Not against the woman who did not ask this person in blackface to leave because she didn't realize he was in blackface and they all looked the same to her. Not the woman who sat on the panel that gave the guy the best costume award for his originality and creativity. Imagine that. In the Department of Homeland Security, in late 2007 in America, it's highly creative and original to show up in prison guard garb, in dreadlocks, in blackface. In the Bush administration, that passes for originality and creativity. What would they have done if he had showed up with some fried chicken and a watermelon? They would have been absolutely out of their skulls. Oh, that's hilarious! Oh, my God! I mean, we're not talking about the kind of humor that, was prevalent in, say, Blazing Saddles. You couldn't make Blazing Saddles in 2007 in America because it really is that racist here now. But you couldn't, you know, the stuff that Richard Pryor and Mel Brooks wrote, no, we're not going to have any of that stuff going on here. I'm, I'm amazed. I'm just amazed. Now, what do you want to bet? What do you want to bet the guy was wandering around the party, maybe saying stuff like this?
Hey, where are the white women at?
I wouldn't be at all surprised. Then again, maybe the reason this person won the Best Costume, Most Original Costume Award had something to do with Julie Myers' own reaction.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Yeah. Julie Myers. Class act.
Oh, it's true. It's true. It's true. It's true.
And I'm sure it wasn't just a matter of her talking about the originality and creativity of the costume. And, you know, there was more to go with it, too.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Dig it. You are paying that woman. You're paying that woman. I'm paying that woman. We're paying that woman. ICE officials briefed congressional staffers about the costume party this week as a courtesy. Well, they only extended that courtesy after the congressional staffer contacted them, having received an anonymous tip about the man who showed up to the ICE agent Halloween party in striped prison garb, dreadlocks, and blackface. See, I first read this and I thought, oh, man. What a story. Oh, this is a real knee slapper. Yeah, this is funny. Now I read it again. It got less funny. And I read it again. Less funny still. By the time I'd read through the whole thing, just to get it fixed in my tiny little mind, it wasn't funny at all. People painted up like this guy do so at the expense of people who had no body paint on when they were floating face down in the waters in the Ninth Ward, when they roasted to death in attics above the water level but far from help in the Ninth Ward. People without the body paint continue to suffer along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. People of similar skin color, perhaps even with the dreadlocks, who knows? As we speak, sit on rooftops in Tabasco State in Mexico. And Julie Myers, oh, I ain't seen such a funny costume, I tell you. Oh, it was just precious. Who would have thought of coming to a party for the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Police dressed as a convict in striped clothes? Who would have thought of such a thing? That is so original. We need to give them an award. They could have really, really hit the heights if he had a buddy who would have come as a Klansman with a noose around his neck. The guy in the prison garb's neck, that is. I mean, they would have been the hit of the party. Welcome to Bushmerica. It's spelled with three K's. Right? Isn't it? Is this just an isolated incident? Oh, Bob, it's just a little Halloween party and they made a mistake. For heaven's sakes, move on! How am I supposed to move on That's not an innocent mistake, and you know, this is not a boating accident. This is the reality of America. This is the reality of America, where crime is on the rise after years and years of steady decline under the policies of a Democratic president named Bill Clinton in the 90s. It's on the way back up. There's a rather disturbing study out that was recently commissioned by the Anti-Defamation League. It turns out that anti-Semitism is on the rise in America, too. Went to an all-time low in the 90s. But we got those God-fearing, Jesus-worshipping, moral family values voterin' Republicans in office. And look what happens to the hate. Do you want to know why? Do you not know why? I'm sure you know why. We've got it because of what is happening to the middle class. Why is it always easy to scapegoat a group in any cultural circumstance? It's always easy to scapegoat a minority group when the majority is feeling pressed. Why is it easy to scapegoat Mexicans who work for $2.50 an hour scrubbing toilets? Because the working poor and the working middle class in America are feeling the pinch of Republican policies that flow, not like their wealth, from the top down. You see. That's how hate gets hold, because then some demagogue can come along, great or small, and say, it's not your problem, you're not doing anything wrong, it's them, it's the Jews, it's the blacks, it's the gays, it's the atheists, it's the Mexicans, it's the Muslims, it's not your problem. And therein you have an encapsulated definition of right-wing radio. It is late 2007. In America, but it might just as well be late 1857. Oh, a quick reminder before I forget about it. John Fox, been away a while. John Fox and Foxed Up will come your way tonight for the first time in a long time on the beginning of a new time slot, new schedule, Monday through Thursday here on the Horn at midnight. All Foxed Up, coming your way right after the Cup of Joe late night cup at 11 p.m. Strictly Confidential is, as I said, a rerun, but you've got live radio coming your way at 11 p.m. and at midnight, so stick around for that, please. Let's see who's on the phone. Wait a minute, let me do this first. Hey, who have I got?
You got me, man.
Hey, Wayne, what's up, man?
All same. Listen, you know what you were talking about. Picking out groups and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you know, that's a result of what we're going through with, you know, I mean, they brag about how great the economy is and we created 160,000 jobs and blah, 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 which is, you know, all a bunch of junk. The economy ain't, you know, I mean, person, the economy isn't good.
Right.
Instead of attacking the problem, the higher up that, you know, you're scared to death of, you pick on, you know, you decide maybe has it a little worse than you, and then they ain't worth it.
Right.
You know, it's this. I mean, we've been brainwashed since, you know, kids that we were the best, the greatest, the better, ever. You know, the rest of the world was just a bunch of savages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And too many people bought into that. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes an abundance of sense. No matter, you know, and because of that brainwashing, Wayne, no matter how bad it gets here, well, it's as good as it can get because it's America. You know what I mean? So we don't, we don't have to try anymore.
You know, I mean, I believe the majority, the great majority of Americans still think, God, it's a thing to say, that we are not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't you think of it? And it's so totally untrue.
Yes, it is. But as long as we can point to somebody else, and, oh, they're the problem, then we don't have to work on them.
We could point, but we got to point in the right way. Up.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's not where you point or where I point. You know, I don't necessarily point my finger at the guy who showed up at that party. The way he did. It was extremely poor taste. It was stupid. But I point my finger at the higher up, just like what you just said.
That's, you know. And you know, what the people that are pointing down, what they have to realize is that the people that they're pointing down to are their allies and friends. And, you know, that those, they have to join together with those groups. And then everybody point up. And if that happens, it's the same thing like the union and this strike that's going on and stuff like that. More and more people are joining in the support of the nurses. And if the nurses get enough support that they could stay out there that long, they can beat ARH. There is no doubt in my mind. The hard part is keeping the people together. And, you know, other organizations coming in and donating food and money and, you know, taking care of medical needs and stuff like that, allows them to continue. And that's what we have to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling. But
no, you're not. You're not. You're making perfectly good sense.
I fight every damn day, and sometimes, to be honest with you, man, it gets depressing.
You're damn right it does.
Huh?
You're damn right it does. Yeah, you're out there fighting. How many others are fighting with you?
Not enough.
How many places can you look and say, hey, you could be fighting, but you could be standing beside me fighting, but they got a reason, you know, they can't do it. You know, maybe it's the city council of Beckley.
Right. I picked up, I was going to a meeting the other day, and, you know, like, I've got these, like, fake leather folder things that you get for going to different, you know, I don't know how many I got of them. But I grabbed one the other day because I was going to a meeting and I knew there was a notepad in it. Well, I opened it up and there were pictures stuffed in and I pulled them out. And it was the picture of me in 2005 out in the hospital with the sign that I have in the back of the, you know, West Virginia Building Trade Support these, and ARH is involved in union, which is what they are.
Yeah.
This was from when you got fired.
Yeah.
That's from when you got fired. The picture ended up me, the truck, and I'm on the cell phone, and it was in the paper. You know, and I told, when I remember when I first saw it, I said, I wish the caption said, why is Wayne alone?
No kidding.
Why is he all by himself? You know what I mean?
I do. That's not you griping. I mean, that's one of the most legitimate. And see, it's you. It's I heard the frustration. Our dear friend Phil, who calls from Daytona Beach, Florida, he says, you know, we're out there every Thursday handing out flyers demanding an end to the war, demanding impeachment. He said, it's the same people every week.
Yes, it is. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, so instead of, you know, looking at one that you believe to be lower than you or in a worse and pick on them, go talk to the person, join with them. But, you know, we have causes. And, you know, pointing at the top.
Yeah, I'm looking in the chat room and, bless her heart. Nanette says, tell Wayne I'd be there if I could afford the gas to get there.
You know.
And
I truly understand that. I truly understand that. You know, but things are, well, you know, I'm going to keep on fighting. Things are optimistic. The nurses picketed the mayor's office yesterday. I missed that when I had to, well, I was doing things and stuff.
Yeah.
But listen, let me end this on a, got to tell you what I heard on Oberman.
Okay.
Some person was doing a television interview, and I guess it was a little long, so the moderator, reporter, the hell he was trying to speed things up, and he said, to get going here, he says, you know, the next president of the United States has a very heavy schedule. And Fred replied, so do I. Is that telling, Bob?
Yeah, that's a confession.
I would say so. Say so.
Oh, that's precious.
Anyway, brother, hang in there, man.
All right, we're gonna. You know, we're just happy Verizon didn't fry us this time.
Yeah, thank God for that. They tried though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They put a little juice down the line.
Well, we got a different lifesaver.
Yeah, and we got a better Jedi operating it too. I love these guys at CityNet.
I guess we do. We'll call them Obi-Wan.
All right, take it easy, Wayne.
All right, brother. Have a good one, man.
You too. Bye bye. And let's see. I'm going to run over just a little bit because we'll just run into the news and we'll be fine. And who have I got?
Bob?
Yeah.
This from Boston.
Oh, hey, how are you?
I'm good. I just got back from working the polls. We had a mayor in Quincy where I actually live. And this year that I've worked as a poll worker. And I just wanted to call and encourage people to volunteer, and it's a good experience to have. I'm 38, and I'm by far the youngest person there. It's mostly ladies, and you know, I'm a diehard, I guess. But
right,
I great experience. Our precinct has a little over 2,000 people in it, and we had over 1,000 voters, and for a mayoral race, and I think that is encouraging. And
well, it is, and it's more encouraging that you were willing to get out and do it.
Well, you know, and I, you know, when I volunteered last year, I called the city clerk thinking, you know, that I wasn't going to be paid or anything, and I just off of work because I still had a job then, and it turns out, you know, they pay you $9 an hour for a 13-hour race. That's $150.
Right, and I know you're still, you know, out there on the job market and stuff. Are you having any luck at all?
No, not. It's getting a little scary, but that's not why I called. I didn't want to, you know, throw my dirty laundry out there. I really just want to encourage people. It's another way to get involved, and it's a good way to see how the system works and to see the people that come out and vote. And it's kind of funny because you can, like, I could pick out about, I would say, 70% of the Republicans that came in today just from how they looked. And you know, I'm working the book, we check the name, and there's party affiliation against the name and address, and I'm right about 70% of the time, and it's just, you know, it's a very interesting way to see how the system works.
Well, that's perceptive of you, but it's also it's also a little bit scary that it's that obvious, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is valuable experience, and just to see the inside of the process is amazing. And to do it at still a relatively young age, yeah. You know, I hope you'll be able to maybe, you know, do it again. And
yeah, well, I I definitely will. Whether I'm in Quincy or wherever I am, I'm definitely gonna, you know, try to get back into it. If I'm in Quincy, they will call me back and ask me to work again. And they told me that. So, but yeah, no, I think it's I think it's worthwhile. And
oh, without a doubt it is. Without a doubt it is. And so good to hear from you. It's been a very long time since we did.
Yeah, well, with the boys, you know, I have twin 3-year-old boys now, and
that's so neat.
And their bedtime falls right around 8 o'clock, and so it's hard for me to get put your show on live, and then to get on the phone, and you know, to find any time to get on the phone.
Right.
It's not really practical. Fortunately, they're down with my in-laws and my wife on the Cape.
Yeah, getting a little holiday in then.
Yeah, well, it's my wife's birthday on Saturday, and then her mother's birthday is tomorrow, and so I came back on Sunday night and, you know, did job hunting and stuff and worked today, and I'll head back down there tomorrow.
Well, I hope it doesn't seem, because it's genuine when I say that we think of you often. Agnes was asking about you the other day because, you know, you guys, back when she was producing, you'd get to talk a little bit, and she was asking if I'd heard from you in a while, and I will tell her that you called, and I know it'll make her very, very happy to know.
I'm thankful that you guys are there, and you know, just like everyone else in our big family here. At the horn, it's just I do what I can for you, and I.
We do. Listen, we know, and you know what? I hope things. You know, I hope things turn around dramatically for you in the very near future, because it's a scary place to be. It really is. But I have hope that it will. And a smart guy like you, it's bound to.
Well, I appreciate those words, and
I'm sorry they're only words. but I know that there's a lot. I know that there's a lot of people rooting for you. And please give our warmest regards to your lovely wife, and give the boys a kiss on the top of the head for us. Because, man, raising twin 3-year-old boys, you got your hand.